Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning again, our friends, and welcome to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. And I checked with Jonna as to what we might talk about this morning in our first segment, and Jonna said to Carol and I, the huge. And then she proceeded to spell that for me and give me a duh when I didn't spell it quick enough. So, Jonna, please enlighten our audience and spell huge for them.
For the one or two people who don't already know, the word huge is spelled Y-O-U-S-Z-H, huge.
Duh. Yeah.
Use it in a sentence.
Oh, in a sentence, sure. Okay, here's Frankenberry. Hey, guys, what are we going to start with today? Here's me. The huge... Duh.
Yeah. That's right. Where have you been, Frankenberry?
You know what. And now everyone is aware of how our production meetings go.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They last like 30 seconds and they involve silly crap like this.
They absolutely do. Well, I'm glad I got you guys here today because I have I was going to say it's an embarrassing situation, but it's moved from embarrassing to... annoying, kind of like my personality. Yeah. So, you know, Carol, I think you might be able to relate to this because you have owned various properties over the years and, you know, have had to do various amounts of work on them, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I am a woman. Hear me roar. I, too, own a few properties. I have had, on occasion, little situations that I've had to fix with various components of said properties. You know, a broken this, an unscrewed that. Okay. And most of the time, I have people who can handle that for me, like my dad. But I am having an issue with a component of my house that... it's like I said, mildly embarrassing, and I have yet to resolve it. And I've been trying for the last 2 weeks to resolve this issue. And I'm going to tell you what it is, as much as I'm going to have to talk in code.
Wait.
Yes.
Wait. What's the ish?
So, all right. The ish, you're going to have to read between the lines because I'm not good at saying words involved in what the ish is. So, okay. Here's the ish. And it's a very specific-ish. Okay. Now, you guys know that I am partial to convenience. I am partial to spending money on things I don't really need to spend money on. And that means I am partial to having toilets, which is T-O-I-L-E-T-S, toilets, that do things that most toilets do not do. Okay? Are you with me?
I am, but I think you spelled toilet correctly, and I'm a little disappointed in that. But carry on.
All right. So my toilets are fancy in that they, when you walk up to them, they open and close by themselves. When you walk away from them, assuming you've, you know, utilized them in the way toilets are supposed to be used, they flush themselves.
Now, is that fancy or is that more creepy?
Some people's fancy is other people's creepy. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. To me, it's fancy. So, also the toilet will, when we were having the toilet paper shortage of 2020, let's just say I was not concerned because my toilet does that for you. Are you guys following?
Orders me? Toilet paper?
No.
It orders toilet paper for you. I wouldn't be surprised.
My personal assistant.
That's right. Yeah. You know what? When your toilet has AI, you know we're all in trouble.
Exactly. When your toilet's like
Siri.
Alexa.
What would your toilet's name be? Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah. What would it? All right, my toilet's name would be. It would be like
Twilight.
Something obvious. No, like Jeeves. You know, because it does a lot.
Jada's toilet butler. Nice.
All right. So clearly, does. You have a bidet.
Yes, I have a bidet. It's not a bidet. It is a bidet, but I'm calling it toilet because I like to be fancy. So here's the problem. And I don't know. Here's what's really bugging me is I do not know how this happened. I didn't know that it could happen. And I will say, when you have a piece of a bidet that goes missing, you want to find it, because the whole bidet, if you have to replace the whole bidet, it ain't a cheap date. I mean, you can get a toilet for relatively inexpensively, but bidets, you know, they plug in, they have electricity, they have moving parts, they do stuff, they, you know, you gotta, it ain't cheap. So unbeknownst to me, just out of the blue, and it was not me that was using the bidet. A person was at my house attempting to use the bidet for what a bidet is intended to be used for, and then came out of the bathroom and reported to me that the essential component of the bidet being this magic wand, literally, that releases itself from behind a closed door, like the Wizard of Oz, like you can't see it. It's behind a trap door. And when you push a button because you want to summon it to your backside, it comes out like magic. And then you can change the temperature, the forcefulness.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So basically this is the squirty part that makes you giggle.
Exactly. So the squirty part that makes you giggle has a little tip on the end so that the water can be directed upwards. And for some ungodly, unknown, don't know how it happened, mysterious reason, that little tip at the end is MIA. I don't know whether it fell off. I don't know whether it was somebody removed it, like maybe a cleaning person. I don't know whether it somehow it just disappeared. But it is probably the smallest, cheapest, yet most vital component of the entire shebang. The entire shebang. So the embarrassing part is not that I just told you and our 8 or 9 listeners. The embarrassing part is I have been on a mission to find and replace that part, because I am not going to find and replace a whole freaking toilet. I am not. Now, I can't tell you how difficult and embarrassing it has been to call, email, text, yell at, summon, fax, all manner of plumbing supply people across the globe looking for this one part. And everybody is putting their hand in my face like, nope, not us. We don't have it. Nope, not us. We don't have it. Nope. I even contacted. There's a name. My toilet has a name on the side. It's a brand. And I went to the website that bears that same brand, the same logo, the same name. And I said, here's the part. I even drew on a picture the part with my name and identifying information on the email. Like, that bad. And they were like, we don't sell that part. We have no idea what you're talking about. And then I got pissy and said, what do you mean you don't know what I'm talking about? You owned my toilet. Nope. Then I got radio silence.
And then you yelled at them for not even having the common courtesy of hanging your picture on their fridge.
I'm sure they did that. I'm sure I am the laughing stock of pro stock in Utah, which is how far I have looked for this tiny little piece of a toilet. They're probably like, right now, we're sitting on 1,000 of those pieces, but we're not going to send one to New York City. We ain't doing it.
We're just going to see how many different ways we can get her to try to explain what it is.
We want another picture.
I should send you the picture, because the picture is ridiculous. I took a picture, generic picture, and then of a well-working wand, and then with a purple pen on my photo editor, circled the part that's meant. Now, you know, do you think these people have got to be, because I've asked myself, I'm like, how on earth did this piece go missing? Like, I don't, like, how on earth, they must think that I have been doing something very untoward or very masochistic with my bidet in order for this particular piece to fall off.
My hand is raised.
Girl in the back.
Okay. Someone inadvertently summoned the wand early.
And it flew away.
I got you, Carol. I'm with you, Carol.
Okay.
Just, Jonna, take a second.
I'm not.
Take a second. Can you give me? Think of the word early. Early.
Early.
They weren't quite ready for it to be summoned, but they summoned it.
And then
it got damaged.
So my question of you, Jonna, is, no, she doesn't, but that's okay. But my question, Jonna, is now that that piece is missing, when you do summon, does the little hosey squirty thing like bounce back and forth
spray
like
everywhere?
Crazy and just, yeah, exactly. Spray all over the room, or in this case, all over your entire butt. Carol, I think she's still there, but maybe she's mad at us. Why is she so quiet?
Oh my God, I just got it. I just got it. Oh my God.
It's a logical explanation.
It is.
So you mean I have to start calling every guest I've had to my house and ask them if they left with anything unusual in an unusual spot? Oh. No.
No. Nope. Mm. Nope. Mm. I think it was summoned early and knocked to the bottom of the toilet.
Oh.
That's what I think.
See, I thought it was summoned early and went for a ride.
No. Oh, no.
Sorry. That's where I went the first time. But that's mm-hmm. me.
Oh, you did. Oh, no. It was hit by something and fell to the bottom.
Okay. That's
what I think.
And then because it automatically flushes itself, there was no stopping. Yeah. Like once that train was in motion, it was done.
Exactly.
Yep.
It was done. Yep. All right. Okay. Now I can buy that. I can buy that. But what I can't buy is that I have contacted no fewer than a dozen places to get a part. And everybody's talking, looking at me and like I got three heads.
Now,
like I can't be the first one to suffer this kind of catastrophe.
Now, is it possible that you need to order the entire little hose, that it's that the things come together?
The wand.
Yeah, the little wand.
Not according to the owner's manual, which miraculously I found and perused. Of course, there's no phone number, not a single phone number, not an 800 number, not a four parts, like no number in this owner's manual. It's the oddest thing. But I've contacted where I think I bought it. I've contacted the people who have websites of the same brand name. I've contacted a lot of different places and everyone's telling me to talk to the hand. And I'm sure that this part is, you know, if it's $5, it would be a lot. When the entire thing will cost me, you know, 200 times that.
Oh, yeah.
What's a girl to
do? I don't know.
But you know, and you can't, once you go bidet, you cannot go back to having just a normal situation. You get spoiled.
Oh, that, John, I've said that to myself for years. That's why I just stick with regular toilets.
So you don't know what you're missing.
I don't want to know what I'm missing because like you just said, I might not be able to ever go back.
Right. You know, when everybody was suffering from no toilet paper, I was like a fat cat. You know, the best part about having this bidet, the best part of this bidet is the heated seat. I will say that much. That's what I love about it. That's really and I love the fact that I don't have to touch the toilet seat. And I love the fact that I don't personally have to hit anything to make it go away.
Right. And you know what they say, Jonna, once you go bidet, no other toilet will play.
Oh.
You know, so, yeah, I'm with you.
Are you here all week, Frankenberry?
Dry the veal and tip your waitstaff.
Yeah. So I have a conundrum. So if any of our 8 or 9 listeners are plumbers, have plumbers in the family, own a plumbing supply, anything like that, and you can help a girl out, I would really, really appreciate it, because I have lost all decorum and dignity in the last couple of weeks searching for a part that I don't even want to talk about, let alone have to describe in detail. And I've done all of that.
That you have, and well.
Thank you. I mean, I did manage. I did kind of do pretty good, like without being overly graphic, of course.
Of course. I mean, because we never do that here.
Carol, you're being unusually reserved.
I'm just not on my game today. I was really searching for a good sago. Oh, I know.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I know. No, where you're going. Well, okay,
the good news is, yeah. So the good news is, at least you know how you feel. You're not ambiguous about the loss of your little wand tip. That's the best I got today.
Yes, and good use of the word tip. Thank you, Carol. We appreciate that. And you know, and I'm sure Dr. Boss would be excited to know that we were able to segue from a toilet in the day to her.
A toilet to her. A couple of key points here. Carol, even though you are a little bit more reserved today, that was probably one of your best segues ever. So kudos and congrats. And two, yes, I did think about it. We might have to explain to our guest, who's a fabulously brilliant woman coming up, that our segment one never has anything to do with our segment two. And this
but
is
I
no
somehow
different.
Find a way to tie them in.
You do. You are very good
true.
At that.
That is true. So very interesting. You guys know that we've been sort of focusing our January of 2022 on guests who can provide information to help us re-energize and refocus and kind of get back in the pre-pandemic game, so to speak. And I found a real gem this week. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to Dr. Pauline Boss. I'll give her full bio when we come back, but she has most recently wrote a book entitled The Myth of Closure, Ambiguous Loss in a Time of Pandemic and Change. And I don't know if we could have found a more perfect guest to kind of talk to us about how to refocus as we come out of this pandemic, what might be holding us back from feeling like our best selves. And we're going to talk to Dr. Pauline Boss all about that when we come back from the break.
All right, that sounds good. You've got Jonna Spillbore, you have Carol Pesci, and you have some dude. And we will be right back with segment number two. And because she has the coolest name in the world, I just want to say it, Dr. Boss on the way. Right here. Stick around.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
Hello again, and welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and it's time now for segment number two, where we always have our esteemed guests. And today we have Dr. Boss with us.
And esteemed is the operative word. On the line with us, we have Dr. Pauline Boss. Dr. Boss is an educator and researcher who is widely recognized for her groundbreaking research on what is now known as the theory of ambiguous loss. We're going to learn all about that today. Dr. Boss is known as a pioneer in the study of family stress, and oh my goodness, we can all probably relate to that. For over 30 years, her work has focused on connecting family science and sociology with family therapy and psychology. Her most recent book is entitled The Myth of Closure, Ambiguous Loss in a Time of Pandemic and Change. And Dr. Boss is here to tell us all about that. Dr. Boss, welcome to Happy Hour.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
It's really our pleasure, because I got to tell you, before the show, I was I let you and your esteemed assistant know that we've been focusing this month, and kind of on purpose, we've been focusing on how everybody is sort of trying to emerge from this pandemic, which was originally supposed to be 2 weeks and has turned into 2 years. And we're all kind of hopeful and at the same time, pensive. Like I explained it as, you know, I feel like a butterfly getting ready to emerge from a chrysalis, but I'm waiting for someone to whack me with a shoe. You know, so you have that, you have that hope, but it's tamped down. And I cannot wait to learn about the concept of ambiguous loss. This could be just what the doctor ordered, no pun intended. And I was going to start by asking you what your definition of closure means, but maybe we should start a little more broadly. What is ambiguous loss, generally speaking?
Well, ambiguous loss is simply this. It's an unclear loss. It's a loss without verification, such as a death certificate. It's a loss where you're feeling unclear about whether you've lost anything or not. During the pandemic, we've lost our sense of freedom to do our routines as we want them to do. We've lost physically, we've lost our ability to hug our loved ones and be with them in the way that we used to be. And psychologically, we've lost trust in the world as a safe and predictable place. So ambiguous loss causes a very strange anxiety that often people don't recognize, because we think of loss as death. And even if there has been no death in the family, and by the way, there have been many families with a death as well, that's a clear loss. Mm-hmm. Even if there hasn't been a death in the family, however, we have lost immense amount of things during this 2 years of pandemic. And no wonder we're anxious. It's normal to be anxious in this abnormal situation.
That is so true. And that precisely sums up, I think, how a lot of people are feeling. And so I'm just wondering, because you discovered / coined the phrase ambiguous loss decades ago. So at some point you must have discovered that people, and look, I'm the one who's notorious for asking the stupid question, so don't be afraid to acknowledge that. But I guess so you must have discovered that people respond to ambiguous loss different than unambiguous loss. And I'm guessing unambiguous loss is what? Something that we can put a period at the end of, like something definitive, losing a job, losing a loved one.
Well, there's still grief with clear-cut losses, like losing a job or losing your investment or having a death in the family with a clear-cut certificate, and maybe you even saw them die or them being buried. There's still a certain amount of ambiguity, like what could I have done to do this better, et cetera? Why did this happen to me? It's monumental. And my first research was with the families of the pilots and soldiers missing in Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War. So the missing in action was my first research with the physical ambiguous loss. And then in the 80s, my research with veterans who had Alzheimer's disease and the effect on their families, the ambiguous loss that caused, which was psychological ambiguous loss. Since then, it has been studied by many other people around the world for various kinds of maladies, diseases, and situations. And it is clear that the human mind doesn't like ambiguity. It likes certainty. And when we don't have certainty, we have to use some other tools to cope with the stress that causes.
And that's what I wanted to talk about some more. So people are feeling what we're feeling right now, and linking it to the pandemic, because that is the focus of your latest book. How do we, what are the tools? Are they easy tools? What are the tools that we can use to, I guess we all just want to feel better, right? If in broad strokes, we want to feel better. What tools can we use to employ that if we identify that we're having ambiguous loss?
Well, I'm not sure we'll feel better because the situation is still with us, but I think we can lower our stress levels. Not that they'll go entirely away, but we can manage them better. The first tool I recommend very heavily is knowing that you have a loss. So you need to sit down and say to yourself, what have I lost that's physical during these 2 years? And what have I lost that's psychological? So you identify what your particular losses are. And second, I recommend highly both and thinking. That's a new way of thinking, perhaps for some people, that you say to yourself both the positive and the negative. I am both sad about the situation and learning some new things. I am both confident I can survive and distressed at the present time. So you do two opposing ideas in the sentence at the same time. In other words, we have to hold opposing ideas in our mind right now. And by the way, being able to do that, being able to hold two opposing ideas in your mind at the same time, is a sign of mental maturity, which, by the way, we really need right now. We need all the strength and maturity we can to cope with this. So, and also it helps to live day to day, have a purpose for each day, and it may not be the same as it used to be. The one thing that will harm our coping and our resilience to work with this, to endure this, is if we deny it's happening, if we deny the suffering around us, if we deny science, if we deny what can be done to stay safer. And if we deny our own feelings. So it's a time for self-reflection. It's a time for reaching out to others, perhaps not in the usual way, more by Zoom than in reality, although that's improving, I believe. Mm-hmm. And we have to temper our need for being in charge of a situation. I'm old enough at 87 to remember World War II. I was a preteen at that time. And we were not in charge then. So wanting to be in charge of your own destiny is admirable unless you are facing a monumental enemy, which we did in World War II. We fought like hell to win that war. And it was never sure for 4 years. There was anxiety, there was suffering, there was death for 4 years. Nobody knew for sure how it was going to turn out. Now we have suffered for 2 years and perhaps a little longer. It will never go away. The virus will become an endemic and we'll deal with it with an annual flu shot. It will be more like the common cold. But hopefully we will have learned about how strong we can be in the face of a worldwide enemy, which this virus was. And I think those of us who have learned some new things about ourselves and about what to do, if it's so simple as baking bread, for example, which is one way to control your situation for a couple hours, if the world isn't controllable. And that's, by the way, probably why baking bread was so popular. Do something new. Do something you can control in your home, in your life. Exercise, listen to music, do something you like when you can't control the enemy that's around you at the time, which in this case is the virus. So I know people have done this, and if you did, pat yourself on the back. You did a beautiful thing, and you really have gotten stronger because of the stress.
Dr. Boss, this is Carol, and I want to point out something that there was loads of wisdom in those few moments of what you shared with us, and thank you for that. But you touched on something that is near and dear to my heart that I experienced firsthand and wrote about in one of my books, not as a doctor, but as somebody who lived it. The positive thinking movement in many ways is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And at the same time, I think it has falsely taught us that we need to always be positive. And if we aren't, we're somehow failing. And then we, on top of that, judge ourselves for the negative emotions that we do feel. And I have found personally, and uses what you just said, is we are much better off, and you even specifically said to name it, to name what we're experiencing, and be with it and acknowledge it. And exactly. Then I think it lessens its intensity and its power over us.
Yes, I'm not a fan of positive thinking because now and then we have to face something that's terrible, that's awful. like having a loved one die, and all you can do is look through a window to say goodbye to them, if even that much. And then, of course, as I said, my original research on families who have loved ones missing in action. No, we have to have a name for what is distressing us. And often it is ambiguous loss or a clear loss. Loss has not been a popular topic in our country. Winning is a popular topic. We like gain, not loss. And that is not true of more Eastern cultures, but we have to become more familiar with it because it hits us. Decades ago, the book The Denial of Death was written by Ernest Becker. And I certainly have addressed the denial of ambiguous loss. We have to face those and be empathic to our neighbors who are facing both clear and unclear losses, because it hurts. And we can withstand suffering in a nation that is so powerful. We have not looked at it clearly enough. It is part of strength, paradoxically, to face suffering as well.
That's an excellent point, Dr. Boss. And I love that you talked about control and how, you know, part of getting through ambiguous loss is to do something that you can control, even for a short time, like baking bread or, in my case, drinking wine. I also wanted to ask, I get where, you know, we're working through this and we all think that we're kind of getting to the tail end. Is it not helpful? Like one of the ways I think personally I've been trying to get through, and this is like a weird analogy also, but I remember being a kid. Like, remember when you were a kid and you were losing a baby tooth and you could either wait for it to fall out on its own or you could sit there and wiggle it all damn day until it finally came out a little bit prematurely. I feel like I want to start acting like I did in 2019 because it'll make the end of this pandemic come sooner. And is that not good or is that good?
It's just the opposite. The more we let down on what we've been doing to be careful, the more the virus will mutate and continue. So it's just the opposite. We have to be very careful for just a little while longer in order for the virus to go down, diminish in its power and become like the common cold. The virus will never go away. The 1918 virus is still with us in the form of an annual flu shot. It will always be with us. And our job now is to do what we can, for heaven's sakes, get vaccinated so that it will not mutate. You know, the thing that we need to cope with stress is we need to know what we can control and what we cannot, and then have the wisdom to know the difference. It sounds like the Serenity Prayer. It actually is.
Sure is.
So what we can control is to protect ourselves with a vaccination, with masks. And that will make it faster for us to get back to what is called a new normal. It will never be what it used to be 2 years ago. You know, the butterfly changes too when it morphs. It no longer crawls, it flies. And many times when our beloved country has had a crisis or chaos, the last one I can think of is the 60s. What happens after a decade or a couple of years of chaos and pain and so on is something better comes out of it, like in that case, the civil rights movement and laws. So something will come out of this, even though I think we're still in the chaotic period, what I call a paradigm shift. Something will come out of this that will be better. You know, if only Zoom, we won't have to fly around the country all the time. Or for business people and people like myself who were speaking a lot. Zoom is a wonderful thing that's come out of this, but there are many other things as well. I myself have learned that I can really exist alone. My husband died during this period, and grieving alone was not not terrible. I could cry whenever I felt I needed to. I didn't have to put on airs for anybody. I didn't have to control anything. And so I could grieve freely. And then other people will give you other examples of advantages. That is, got closer to their family, indeed, and their children. Indeed, some people where there was abuse in the family, things were worse. So I'm not being Pollyannish here. I know that for some people, being shut in together was worse. But overall, let's hope we all learn something from this and that we can move on to become stronger for this next lap that we do in this human race.
That's love that next lap.
Perfect.
And I'm sorry to hear about your husband. And I know that we've been talking about ambiguous loss in connection with this pandemic, obviously, because that is the focus of your latest book. But also, before we let you go, Dr. Boss, you have a course, I think, about ambiguous loss. And can you tell us who's that for and what would people learn in the ambiguousloss.com course?
Yes, it is at www.ambiguousloss.com. The course is now taken over by the University of Minnesota. And it is a course taught by myself on video on what it is and what the effects are. And then that would be the first couple sections of the course that ordinary people could benefit from, I believe. And if people are a therapist or a professional in the field, they would finish the other elements of the course for how do you do therapy with ambiguous loss. So I recommend people check it out. The first couple segments would be, I guess, as I said, for ordinary people and for professionals finish all of them. I hope that's useful. I knew I was getting older and was encouraged to put it down so other people could learn from it. And I'm very pleased to say it's quite popular.
That's terrific. And I know from doing some research on you, if people do want to learn more about you and your theories and your teachings, there's a lot of you on YouTube, which is great. So they can find you, Dr. Pauline Boss. And just as a reminder, her latest book is The Myth of Closure, Ambiguous Loss in a Time of Pandemic and Change. That just came out last month. Yes. And Dr. Boss, it has really been a pleasure speaking with you. Are you on social media? Can people follow you other than on YouTube?
I'm sorry, I'm not. It just was beyond me.
It's quite all right.
But W.W. Norton, my publisher, is on social media for me. So you can contact me through my publisher, W.W. Norton in New York City, the Great. Publishing house there. The new book is written in ordinary language. It is not an academic book. I wanted all kinds of people to read it.
And Doc, I want to say that I'm glad you're not on social media because there's a lot of ambiguous loss on social media. You don't need any more.
That is so true.
Good one, Frankenberry.
People can also check you out in the course at ambiguousloss.com, and you are all over YouTube. We've been speaking with Dr. Pauline Boss. She actually coined the phrase and has been studying, speaking, and writing about ambiguous loss for 3 decades. I urge you to pick up her book, The Myth of Closure, and it has been a pleasure speaking with you. You are one smart Brian. I just have to tell everybody, you mentioned that you're 87. We can see you on this Zoom video, and you are one good-looking Brian. Let me tell you, 87 looks good on you.
That it does. So, Dr. Boss, thank you very much again for joining us today. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and we're not quite done yet. We'll be back with segment number 3 in just a few, so please stick around.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here. We have Jonna Spilbore. We have Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello,
Frankenberry.
Boom!
Sorry. Every time you do that, Jonna, I can see that face of yours. I know exactly the face you're making as you hold that right arm out.
Boom! Yeah, she's like fist pumping. Yep.
Yep. Or mic dropping, one or the other.
Yeah, I can't help it. It just goes through my whole body. Love it.
So a big thanks to Dr. Boss for joining us this morning.
Yeah, she is really one smart cookie, and I'm glad we got a chance to talk to her because, as mentioned, like I haven't been able to quite put my finger on, and a lot of the people in my circle have not been able to put their fingers on what it is that we need to feel or do to kind of get back to or get to a place where we feel good again, like good about the future. I mean, a lot of us like want to feel good about the future, but we got this little thing that's sort of hanging over us, like a little tiny piece of black cloud. And she kind of put that in perspective on why we feel that way and how we can get past that. So that was very enlightening.
Yeah, it was. It was a bit eye-opening. You know, when something clear and traumatic happens, it's difficult, but you come to terms with it, you gain closure, you begin to heal, and you move forward. And as she points out, it's like we've got these kind of vague feelings, right? It's like this, the loss that we've experienced, which is the loss of living life as we did before COVID-19. It's like ambiguous. It's not clear. Like things are definitely different. And there's an underlying current of like anxiety and uncertainty. And I think to get to that place, what you just described is where you feel clear and optimistic and hopeful and moving forward. I think one of the big things is just understanding, right? It's the first gain understanding what we're all collectively going through, right? Like how we're processing it. And that understanding is the first step towards, okay, now how do I chart from here to get myself where I want to be?
Precisely. And you know what I found? I should mention this. We'll give a shout out to a good friend of ours and also a previous guest on the show. And one of the things, and this just happened by accident, but we have a good friend, an intuitive medium named Deborah Hanlon. And she recently posted, and we all follow each other on social media, and she posted a question. This was so interesting. She had no idea who we were going to be talking to this week or anything, but she posted a question on her page that basically said, how are you doing? Meaning that a general question to her followers, like, how are you doing? And I read through the comments and the majority of them were exactly what we described. They're like, well, you know, we feel kind of good, but, or, you know, I feel like there's still something negative, or we really want to feel positive, but I can't quite put my finger. And so it's a collective perspective going on out there. So hopefully I'm going to let her know. And hopefully a lot of her followers can listen to this show too, because this might be the way to get past it faster. And that's the other thing. Like you guys know, I'm so impatient. Like I like to resolve things quickly. Like if you tell me I got to wait 6 months, like if I call a plumbing supply tomorrow and they go, yeah, we got that part, we're going to send it to you in June, I'd be like, you know what? No, connect me with China. I can get it faster. Just connect me with China. You know, but and I think we're all just because, you know, we're not political. I'm not getting political. But when you harken back to this was going to be 2 weeks of a life change and it's now been 2 years. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Well, I think pretty much everyone's ready at this particular point. So, and it is kind of tiresome. So it was nice to have the doc there talk us off the ledge a little bit.
Well, and what she teaches you is, yeah, we are still, things are ambiguous, things are uncertain. And would we all like to say, whew, we're finally done with it, now we get back to normal?
Right.
Sure. Is that likely to happen anytime soon? It doesn't appear so. But what she's offering us is, okay, so that uncertainty is going to be there for a while. But okay, so how do we address it? How do we then cope and deal with that uncertainty? And that's the best we can hope for, is to help ourselves handle it and deal with it, the uncertainty aspect of it.
You know what it reminds me of? In an odd sense, you've talked about this a lot, Carol, because this was something personal to you. Remember, like, I know this is going to sound like a weird analogy, but we've had a couple of shows where we talked about, you know, how people always want to put on a happy face and they kind of like ignore the things that are maybe bringing them down or giving them some anxiety or what have you. And
yep,
we've talked about this a few times where that's really not the way. Like ignoring it isn't the way to get through it. You got to like go through it. And 100%. That's, I think, exactly. And in a weird sense, knowing that you can sit in this ambiguity and still be okay is kind of like that, like working through it instead of just going, okay, we're done now, because we're not done now. We're not done now if not everybody is on the same page. So I it's just enlightening. I love, we have really smart guests on this show.
that we do. And like I said, and it's, you know, it's nice to have, you know, somebody, you know, at least make us feel better. And like you said, John, you know, when not everybody's on the same page, it makes it difficult. So it was nice to have the doc here to make us feel a little bit better about, you know, how we approach the moving forward and how we handle it ourselves.
Yeah. And before we get going, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it feels counterintuitive, right? As human beings, our natural desire is to have certainty and control, right? And the fact of the matter is, like, you know, pandemic aside, I think it just brought a fundamental life issue more to light. Is, I think it is a practiced skill and helpful for all of us to learn how to go with the flow more and let go of that need for certainty and control, because it's really an illusion anyway, right? Right. And I think we can cope more with, you know, like, Jana, you know, who knows if you are ever in this lifetime going to find the tip to your wand.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
Maybe you should just embrace the uncertainty of whether or not you're ever going to find it.
Right. And, you know, for you know, for anybody that's just tuned into the show, we apologize for how that sounded.
Well, and that's all the more reason for me to take Dr. Boss's course all about ambiguous loss, which other people can go to, as she mentioned, at www.ambiguousloss.com. Because the last thing I'll say on this is, it's not just about pandemic. You can suffer ambiguous loss from a lot of things, a breakup, people in your life who pass away, changing jobs, changing state, like anything can cause this. And she actually really teaches an in-depth course on it at www.ambiguousloss.com. And like I said, I might have to join because of what I'm going through right now.
I just got to say, you know, Carol, you know, for this woman who is so like current, and, you know, she's on the social media all the time. She says things like, hey, we're going to do, what are we going to do today? The huge. She just twice used www before a website.
I did.
You did. You did. I mean, I think the last person that used www before a website was back in the 70s.
No, it was probably Al Gore, because he invented the interweb. I know, whatever. I thought about it as the words W was coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, but you did it twice.
I know. Come on. I'm suffering. Okay. I'm suffering from wand loss.
That's right. I'm suffering from the loss of the tip of my
wand. Loss.
Again, audience that just tuned in, apologies.
Yeah, oh, I'm not my talking gosh. About the You're going to have variety. To. You're going to have to go to k104online.com/happyhour when this episode is up as a podcast. Find out what we're talking about.
Exactly. No.
You're going to have to go to www.k104online.com/happyhour. Boom. Right. Yakalaka. I'm out.
There you go. And just to give you a little tease, it involves getting water squirted on your butt and giggling.
Mm. Oh, you blew it. No pun intended.
Lots of giggling.
All
right, kids.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, I think we will call it a day or a morning or whatever it happens to be. Or
let's call it a bidet.
There you go.
Call it a bidet.
Ba-dum, boom. We will call it a bidet.
I'm on fire.
You could use a little bidet right now, being on fire and all. So anyway, thank you so much, everybody out there, for tuning into Happy Hour again this morning with Jonas Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry. We will be back again next Sunday at the same time here. So please join us again.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spilbor and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.